John chapter 1. Let's read verse 29. John chapter 1. This is God's prophet. This is God's prophet identifying God's sacrifice. God's Messiah. The next day, John sees the Lord Jesus coming, and He's coming right toward him. The Lord Jesus is seeking out this prophet of God, coming unto him. And John says, "Now you behold, you take a good look at this. Take a good look at him. Behold him, the Lamb of God, who takes away sin of a whole lot of folks in this world." He takes away sin. Now, John the Baptist, his one business of which he was totally consumed with was to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's all about. All about. Notice verse 6 in John chapter 1. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This same one came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him." That all might believe him. All through him might believe. Verse 15. John bare witness of him, cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he is the eternal God. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Law was given by Moses, but grace and truth comes by the Lord Jesus Christ." The only reason for John and the only purpose of John was to identify this Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may this be said of every true believer. The only reason for our purpose here is to worship Christ, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and to preach Him. He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And to preach Him, we preach Him crucified, Christ and Him crucified, and to point others. To point others to this Lamb of God. I want you to behold Him who is altogether lovely, who is the only sacrifice for sin. Now, John doesn't ask us to behold a great teacher, though he is a great teacher. Nor does he ask us to behold a moral leader. He is moral and he is a leader. He's a leader and a commander to the people. He declares that Jesus Christ is God's designated sacrifice for sin. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son. You get a hold of that now. He sent His Son for us to be a sacrifice for sin. John knows no other atonement but substitution, and no other substitute but Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In the Revelation, we read of Him of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And all through the Revelation. You ever notice through the Revelation? Turn over there. Hold your place in John 1. But turn to Revelation 5. What's the book of Revelation about? The Lamb. All through the Revelation, at least 20 times, and maybe more. But to be on the safe side, at least 20 times, we read about the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, all through the Revelation, and the revelation of Christ, but He's seen as in His sacrificial character, as the Lamb of God. Revelation 5, look at verse 5. Revelation 5:5. "One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, all power, seven eyes, all seeing, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." He's worshipped as the Lamb of God, and He's glorified in His sacrificial character. And may God give us grace and boldness to know and to believe and to preach no other than this Lamb of God, to know no other substitute but Christ, no other atonement for sin but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to John chapter 1, verse 29. John seeth this Savior. And that's what His name means, Jesus. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. And He is exactly what He's called. He does exactly what He came to do. He saves from sin. Doesn't try to. He shall take away sin. He shall finish all things that the Father gave Him to do. He sees the Savior coming and He says, "Behold, gaze on Him. Behold Him." Definite article here. The Lamb. The Lamb. He's not a Lamb. He's the Lamb. He's a fulfillment of all those typical lambs. He sets Him forth as the only sacrifice for sin. The Lamb. All through the Scripture, we see the Lord Jesus Christ pictured as the sacrificial Lamb. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I believe I brought a message here one time from Genesis chapter 4. You remember on the sacrifice of Abel? Abel brought that lamb that was slain, but that lamb typified and shows us substitution, salvation by blood sacrifice in Christ. There's a lamb typified, slain by Abel. In Genesis 22, we read that a while ago, the lamb prophesied God will provide Himself the lamb, and provided for Himself a lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. In Exodus chapter 12, we see the lamb slain and the blood applied on the door. God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." In Isaiah 53, we see the Lamb of God personified. He's the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace is upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. He's the Lamb personified. And in John 1:29, we see the Lamb of God identified. Old John grew up around the temple. His daddy was a priest. He saw lamb after lamb after lamb. He passes by all those lambs and said, "This is God's lamb right here. God's sacrifice." In John 19, we see the Lamb of God crucified. And the Lord Jesus Christ declares to all who will hear, "Salvation done. Finished. Not attempted. Mission accomplished." Not mission failed. Mission accomplished. He bought us with His own blood. And in the Revelation we just read, we see the Lamb of God magnified and glorified and worshiped. And we sing unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, both now and forever." This is the only sacrifice for sin. Who else could provide such a sacrifice? Huh? None but God Himself. God bought us with His own blood. None but God Himself. Who else could have honored the very law of God that we broke? He honored the law Himself. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. Who else could have put away sin but the Lord Jesus Christ? And He did so. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. Himself, the Lamb of God. He provided the sacrifice. And God Himself is the Lamb. Now you think about this. God Himself is the Lamb that was offered unto God, and it provides Himself as the Lamb. And we're accepted in the Beloved. Who was it that sacrificed this lamb? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. These wicked men did what they wanted to do, but in doing that, they accomplished God's eternal purpose by the sacrifice of Himself. Who was the officiating high priest on that day? Huh? Pilate thought he was in charge, didn't he? "Don't you know," he said to the Lord Jesus, "I have power to crucify you and I have the power to release you." "You don't have any power over me except that which is given of God." God was officiating on that day. God planned the cross. God presided over the cross. Who was it that bruised the Lamb that day. Well, those men did, but it wasn't what men did that day. Our hope is what God was doing. It pleased God to bruise Him in our room and in our stead. Who was it that imputed and laid the sin of God's people upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Man couldn't do that. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You see, this is God's Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. God's Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only the Lamb provided, but He's also the Lamb that's accepted. He is the Lamb of God that God must accept, glories to accept, and always accepts. And we're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ, in that sacrifice. Now, my friend, do not try to bring another sacrifice. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Don't mock God by trying to provide your own remedy, your own thing, doing it your own way. God prescribed a certain order of worship. We talked about that on the way up. In the book of Leviticus, Aaron had four sons. Two of them, Nadab and Abihu, they thought they had a better idea how to approach God, and they brought a strange fire that God didn't say. God said, don't come that way. And they thought, well, you know, we're going to improve it. You know what God did to both those boys? Killed both of them. Nadab and Abihu. Don't mock God by trying to come some other way. There is no other sacrifice for sin but this Lamb of God. And to come some other way is to mock God and to deny the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the first point. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the atonement, the Redeemer, the Savior, the only one. Salvation in no other but Christ. The second point is this. John sets forth this Lamb as bearing away our sin. Notice it says, behold, the Lamb of God. Who does this? He does something. He not only comes, but He comes to do a work. He comes to accomplish God's purpose. Who taketh away or beareth away sin. He sets Him forth as the Lamb of God, bearing our sin. Now, our blessed Lord had no sin of His own. He's the spotless Lamb of God. You go back and look at all those sacrifices under the law, they couldn't have a blemish. They couldn't have scurvy. They couldn't have a scab. They had to be perfect, without spot, without blame. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our spotless Lamb of God. He had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. And as such, He's bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. That's what happened. He's our scapegoat. He's our sin bearer. Taking our sin, He not only took our sin, but He took it to Himself. And taking it to Himself, He took it away. He took our sin to Himself. Let's look at those three things. Now, this is the beauty of the gospel. He took our sin to Himself. This is the beauty and strength in the center of the gospel of substitution. Imputation. He suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God through His sacrifice. The just one, suffering for the unjust. God made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Here we see substitution and satisfaction. All the sins of God's elect were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What a load that must have been. What a load that must have been. All my sin and the sin of all of God's elect laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He makes full atonement for the sin of His covenant people. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No angel could have carried that load. No man could have carried that load, but it was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He carried it in His own body, being made sin for us. Secondly, He not only took sin to Himself, was made sin for us, but secondly, He carried it away. It says there that He taketh away. He took our sin, and then He took it away. He took it voluntarily to Himself. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down to myself. He became responsible for His covenant people, the divine justice, and He carried it away as a scapegoat did on that Day of Atonement under the law. He was manifested to take away our sin. On that Day of Atonement, they took those lots, they cast lots on those two goats. One was sacrificed for a burnt offering and the other was taken away. The priest would lay his hands on that scapegoat, confessing the sins of Israel, and then they'd take that scapegoat by the hand of a fit man and lead it away into the wilderness. And he'd leave that scapegoat there and he would come back without it, signifying that sin is gone. Sin is put away. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our scapegoat. Christ has removed our sin, it says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west. Oh, that's good news. Infinite sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's gone. Now listen to this scripture. In Isaiah 38:17, He says, all their sin, God says, is cast behind my back. Now where's the backside of God? I don't know. I've never seen it. No man else can. That's where my sin is, behind His back. He sees it no more. God who sees all things knows my sin no more. Micah 17:9, He says they're all cast into the depths of the sea. You see, the idea is that they're gone. They're put away by the blood sacrifice of Christ. In Hebrews 10:17, it says their sin, by that one offering He perfected forever them that are sanctified. And by that one offering, He said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. The sin of God's people do not exist. They're gone. As John Owen said, sin committed suicide when it fell on the scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's gone. It's dead. It's over. And then it says this, thirdly, He taketh away. Taketh. Taketh, taketh. It's a perpetual sacrifice. It's an eternal sacrifice. Taketh, taketh, taketh away our sin. It's a perpetual. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He ever lives to make intercession for us. His blood, as I continually sin, I have a continual sacrifice to cleanse me from all sin. When you sin, we have the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our propitiation. He is our atonement. There is a continual effect of His blood to daily cleanse us from all sin, to daily apply to our conscience, to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He ever lives to make intercession for us by this all-sufficient sacrifice. For who? Brother Mahan mentions on that broadcast the battleground among religion through the years is who? For whom did the Lord Jesus Christ die? There's no argument with me. He died for His people. He died for His sheep. He died for His elect. We call that particular redemption. We call that definite atonement. We call it complete and finished. It says there that He taketh away the sin of the world. Now, most people would look at that word and say, well, that just means all the sin of all men that ever was. That just means everybody. Okay, if you take that, then let's turn to John chapter 12. Let's see what this says. Does that mean that He died for all of the sins of all men without exception? Is that what that word world means? Well, look what it says right here. John 12... Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive how we prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after Him. Does that mean that all the people in all the world went after Him then? No. It just means a whole lot of folks did. All kind of folks. And that's what it means over here. He died for a whole lot of folks, His covenant people, the world. The world. Don't get confused here. The world cannot mean all the sins of all men. John Owen gave this. Now here's a test for you. This is multiple choice. Now, and you answer this in your mind. I won't put you on the spot, but you answer this in your mind. Here's choice number A, talking about the atonement of Christ. Did He die for all the sins of all men? Well, if that's true, then all men are saved without exception. B, choice number two, did He die for some of the sin of all men? Well, if that's true, none are saved. But now, number three, get a hold of this. If He died for all the sin of some men, that's the gospel, then those some men are saved. You see what I'm saying now? And that's been the battleground in religion for years. It's no battle for me. I believe in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is not an attempt to put away sin. It's an atonement for sin. It's a covering. It's a propitiation. It's a mercy seat. It's a satisfaction. Spurgeon said, all manner of sin that was ever done in the world by all sorts of men in all races and all places, His elect are made up from all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, the redeemed of the Lord. All over this world, God has a people. And forever for whom He stood as surety, mediator, representative, He put away their sin.
Yeah.
That's the good news of the gospel.
Yeah.
John Gill said, sin that is common to all men in the world. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about His covenant people. He died as a surety and sacrifice for His people. And He put away their sin. Now, here's the last point. Behold the Lamb of God. Look back at John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of God's elect in this world. Behold the Lamb. There He is. What a wonder of love and grace we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is that love. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he talks about, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Look to Him by faith. It says there, to behold Him. Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Savior from your sin? All of your salvation, the Lord will behold Him. Isaiah 45:21 says, look to Him. He said, look unto Me and be ye saved. Look to Him by faith. True faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of faith. Love Him supremely. We love Him because He first loved us. Glorify Him only. How do you glorify the Lord? By believing Him. By believing His record. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the only sacrifice for sin. This book knows nothing but Christ and Him crucified. For salvation. For redemption. For righteousness before God. I thank God what I believe. I shall believe. Even if I believe it alone. If no one else believes, we say, well, nobody else believes that grace stuff. Doesn't matter to me. I believe it because it's God's Word, God's truth. And I believe it if I'm the only one that does believe it. I know folks usually follow the crowd. You know, truth is always in the minority. Right. I find a small group somewhere in a small gathering in a small building, and they might be preaching something. This big crowd, these mega churches, they're nothing. They're soap bubbles. They're empty. Their message is dead and damning to those who follow them. Substitution. What do you think of it? Huh? It's the way of grace. It's the way of salvation by the grace of God. Satisfaction. I can't satisfy God. Thank God He did. He did. Salvation in the Lord Jesus. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ, we are complete. Complete. Full atonement, can it be? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have in Christ.